This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I want to talk about faith this morning. And I just really want to talk about faith and the importance of it and the real need today of faith. In Luke chapter 18... Jesus told a parable because he said that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. I should say, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And I want to talk about faith in relation to our heart, because faith comes out of a pure heart. Faith is not a mental thing. Faith is something that is supernatural, that's imparted to us in our heart. The Bible says, with the heart, one believes. With the heart, not with the head. We process information through our mind, our intellect, but it's through the heart that we believe. And then the tongue, the mouth confesses. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we're commanded by Scripture to keep our heart with all diligence, because everything in our life flows out of our heart. And in particular, just regarding faith and regarding the generation that we're in that Luke chapter 18, where he tells a parable of a widow who was hard done by, and she went to the judge to implore him to deal justice, to deal justly with her, to deal with her case. And he wouldn't listen, but she persisted. She didn't give up. She didn't lose heart. And eventually the judge, just through her persistence, answered her prayer, answered her petition. And Jesus brought it back. How much more will God listen to us? And he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man, he says, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? And so let me just leave that there. A while ago, I went away with Frank Dahm. I forget how long ago that was. Yeah, it was a while ago. Went down to a nice little place by the sea. Anyway, I just really felt a need to get away to seek the Lord. So I spent 3 days just seeking God, fasting, because I really wanted to just spend that time waiting on the Lord. And I said, Lord, I need to hear from you. And so, you know, just spending time before the Lord and waiting on him. They get the end of the day, and all I got, be still and know that I'm God. Yeah, well, I am still. Not eating, not doing anything. I'm waiting on you. I am still. Second day, seeking the Lord, because I've got to hear from you, God. I need to hear from you. Second day. All I get was be still and know that I'm God. Yeah, okay, I got that. I am still, not doing anything. I need to hear from you. And the third day, in fact, it was almost a bit of an anti-climax, wasn't it, Frank? We just suddenly realised he's spoken. My problem was hearing. Same thing, be still and know. You know what I realised? I don't know how to be still. I don't know how to be still. But what hit me as I thought, so, okay, I'll, instead of just dismissing that, yeah, I know that. I know how to be still. I know how to wait, because isn't that what I do when I pray and all that sort of stuff? I thought I knew already what he was telling me. How often do we think we already know? You know, you might have somebody talk, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard that preaching. Yeah, I've heard that. I know all about that teaching. I know all about that teaching on faith. I know all about that teaching on this and that and that. I know it all. You know, we live in a generation that actually in the book of Daniel, he says in chapter 12 there, he says that in the last days that men will run to and fro through the earth, and that knowledge would increase. Well, this generation now has more knowledge. It's incredible the knowledge that we have. We know everything. We know everything, don't we? Why is it there is such a lack today when we know everything? God starts to speak and we tell him, I already know that. Heard that before. In fact, I heard 10 different people speak on that subject, and this one spoke on it so incredibly well. I had tingles going up and down my spine when he said it. I've heard the best. And we end up not hearing. We end up not seeing. You know what God says in Scripture, where God says, who is blind but my people? Who is deaf but my people? Seeing many things, but they don't see it. Hearing many things, but they don't hear it. And the Scripture is crying out, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. Jesus, when he got up, behold, listen, listen, give me your full attention and listen to what I'm saying to you. We know everything, but there's so much turmoil, so much strife, and so much distraction that we're not hearing. So that struck me. And as I said, that last day when I was away with Frank there, as it started to dawn on me that I didn't know how to be still, I got this, and it was actually incredibly, it was scary. It was, David, you are going to hear me through your own perception. You're going to hear me through where you're at. Now, what do you mean? In other words, I'm going to hear what I want to hear, what I'm already preconditioned to hear. I'm going to see what I'm already preconditioned to see. And that's incredibly scary. There's, in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is talking to people who have idols in their life. He's actually talking to the elders of Israel. These are the spiritual leaders of Israel. And he said to them that, first of all, challenge them. They had idols in their heart. They were hidden, hidden things, but they're idols in their heart, and that God was going to speak to them, because God is a speaking God. He's going to speak to them, but they're going to hear God through their idols. In other words, they're going to hear what they want to hear. We're in a generation that the Bible says many will have itching ears, and they will heap up teachers to what they want to hear. We need to hear the Bible. We need to hear all about healing. We need to hear all about what God's doing. But, you know, we can have our bent, what we want to hear. I only want to hear about healing. I only want to hear about this thing or that thing. And so we heap up teachers according to what we hear. Want to hear, and it may not be that it's what God is trying to get across to us. And as I started to think about that, suddenly I'm realizing so many different scriptures and men and women of God that God was trying to communicate to, but it's almost like he had to break them down to get their attention. Think about Moses. He heard from God, didn't he? He knew he was going to be a deliverer. He knew what God had called him to do. He heard, but he heard it the way he wanted to hear it. And so, you know, he sets off. He's a man, the Bible says, who's incredibly eloquent in speech. He was mighty in all of the Pharaoh's household. He was a mighty man. He was eloquent in speech, which seems a contradiction because when you read the story of Moses, after what happens to him, he's totally broken. You know what happens? He gets off to deliver his people and he sees an Egyptian beating one of his people and kills the Egyptian. That's the way to do it. And then he sees two of his brothers fighting and he says, "What are you fighting for, your brethren?" And tries to break it up. And they say, "Who made you a judge and a prince over us? And then you're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian?" And then Moses realized he's in big trouble. Pharaoh was going to hear about it, and he ran for his life. And he was a broken man, totally broken down. And then, you know, finally God gets through to him, says, "Moses, I still haven't changed my mind about what I'm telling you to do. Your problem is not what I've been telling you to do. Your problem is how you're hearing it and how you're seeing it." We hear things from our own perspective. We see things from our own perspective. And so he had to be totally broken down. And you think, what's going on, God? Because God has to get our full attention. The only thing that pleases God is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Boy, he makes it hard, doesn't he? I mean, we're trying our best here. We're trying our best here, and God says it's filthy rags. Oh man, that's a bit rough. We've got to realise that what the scripture says is true. There is none good, no, not one. Not one. That we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed it. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him. And so there's this breaking down of how we hear and how we see. And it's often our lives that, you know, get put through the ringer. And, you know, we're in a generation that's looking for formulas. It's looking for methods. It's looking for solutions. ABC, 1, 2, 3, do this and that. We're in a generation that's incredible knowledge. Faith doesn't come by knowledge. Oh, hang on. Faith comes. What does faith come by? Hearing. Now, listen. Hearing is, it's not about knowledge. It's about when you hear, you're recognizing a voice. God said, "You'll be a people who hear my voice and obey my voice," not commands. You have to give commands to people who don't want to do it. Laws to people who don't want it. You have to make laws for those who are rebellious. Well, we were all in that place of rebellion, in the flesh. Whatever is not of faith is what? Sin. And we think faith is a mental assent to, well, I believe every word in this Bible. Well, the Pharisees believed it too. Devils believe. Devils believe every word in this. They know, the devil knows the words in this Bible, but he hasn't got faith, but he believes them, he knows them. The Pharisees knew it. So faith comes by hearing. And hearing, Karen was preaching last week, and she's been doing that series on Revelation. And hearing, it was an operation of the heart. You know, so keep your heart with all diligence. And belief, faith comes from the heart. And it comes from hearing, a heart that hears. And so I thought, if God's speaking, I'm going to hear him through whatever idols may be in my heart. That is scary. And see, Moses got broken down. Think of it, you know, what about David? Man, talk about a breaking down in his life. Here, God, you're going to be king, you're going to lead my people, and he's, hallelujah, killing giants and bears and everything like that, and we love those stories. How to slay your giant, how to kill the bear and the lion, how to have victory, how to have success in your life, how to have healing, how to have that. But God has said, I'm going to make you a king. And what reason he picked him? Because he had a heart, what, after God. And he got caught up in his successes maybe and said, God, I need to fix this. And he gets hunted, I don't know how many years. Anybody know how many years he's hunted by his own people, exiled from his own people, and, you know, almost to the point of despair. And until you've got to realise, no, it's not about success. It's not about just accomplishing things. It's about hearing his voice and knowing why I'm here. It's to lead a whole nation so that they love and honour and obey God. Think about the testings he had to go through. You know, here he is, he's being hunted by his own people, by King Saul, and he's in a cave, and King Saul comes to relieve himself in the cave. And while he's hiding there, King Saul, with his huge army out to kill him, while he's hiding there, his men say, God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Remember, God said that you're going to be the king, so this must be how we're to dispose of King Saul. And you know what? David refused to do that. In fact, he refused to do that. He said, you cannot lay your hand against the Lord's anointing. You know, often today that would be speaking against a brother, speaking against a sister, or slurring them, putting a wrong slant on them, putting them in a bad light. That would be it. But David, what he did, he crept out and cut off the corner of King Saul's garment. And he did that. And you know, his heart convicted him that that was wrong. He's a heart that's been trained to hear whose voice? All his mates and their fellow Christians say, here's your opportunity, kill him. Get rid of your problem right now. Do this or do that. And it wasn't a voice that inspired faith. You know, there are so many fears around today. You know, the Bible says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth. We're talking about he's our lighthouse. Deep darkness, the people. And we're to arise and shine, for our light has come. Who's our light? Jesus. He's our glory, and he's the lifter of our head. He's our rock, and he's our fortress. And he's a person. He's a person that we love with all of our heart. So faith comes by hearing. And so many people that had to get rearranged. Another one, obscure one that I was meditating on, this Habakkuk. Habakkuk's a prophet. He sees as God sees, right? And he's looking around the nations, and he's seeing one nation rob and pillage another nation. He's seeing injustice. He's seeing terrible things happening. And he's just getting worked up, and he's saying, God, why are you just sitting there? Why aren't you doing something about it? Why do you allow one nation to overtake another nation? Why do you allow that to happen and don't do anything? And he gets so frustrated because he knows God. He knows, he sees what God can do and who he is, but he's speaking out of this frustration. He wasn't speaking out of faith, because he needed to hear God. You know what he said? He says, I'm going to go to my watchtower, and I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to watch to see what the Lord will say to me and how I will answer when I'm reproved, when God corrects me. Here's a heart that says, look, this is the way I see it. This is how I'm hearing it, but it's not producing faith. Something's not right. And I know it's not God. He says, I'm going to get to my watchtower. I'm just going to be still. I'm going to stop my ranting and my raving. Quoting God's word in that way. Back to him. And he says, I'm going to watch. Isn't it interesting? I'm going to watch. Watching would be with your eyes, I would have thought. I'm going to watch to see what he will say to me. I wouldn't have thought that was... I would have thought you should say, I'm going to listen to hear what he's going to say to me. He said, no, but I'm going to watch to see what he will say to me. And I think here's someone that's got to a place where he's giving God his full attention. We're in a generation that we know so much and we answer before we've really heard. We speak before we've really heard. So I think, you know, as the scripture says, that we're to be swift to hear and slow to speak is really applicable for this generation now, because we need to hear from God, because that's where faith comes from. So many others in the Bible. The book of Hebrews says there's God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being, this is Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding everything, all things, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn, that's Jesus Christ, into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And another scripture. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. This is Jesus. And the heavens are the work of your hands. The heavens are the work of Jesus' hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, and like a cloth you will fold them up. And they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. It's not about knowledge. Knowledge isn't our safeguard. Do you know Jesus said that in the last days great deception will come? It will come not because the devil is so great and such a good deceiver. It will come, the Bible says, because God will send strong delusion to those who didn't receive a love of the truth. It's all about our heart. We hear with our heart. We don't hear just through our knowledge, but we hear through our heart. So we've got to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Now listen, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels, that was to Moses, proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honour and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. But in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was befitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. Don't you realise that whenever we get together, there's that witness of Jesus within our hearts. Our Father, I will declare your name to my brethren. My Father, in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Do you realise that's Christ in us, the hope of glory, who wants to respond to the Father? It's him. And again, I will put my trust in him. That's Jesus, Christ in us. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. That's you and I. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You know, you're called by God. Just as Moses was called, just as David was called, and for whatever reason, you know, all those prophets, they all had that calling. God had to clarify it as they were still and waited on him. They weren't to give up. We're partakers of this heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. But this one, that's Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honour than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ, as Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying today. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Do you know we can, in departing from the living God, oh, let me finish, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. That evil heart of unbelief, you know, where, as Karen Bev preached last few couple of weeks, that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, love our neighbour as ourselves. And there's a real challenge there. We can't even do that without faith, without God speaking to us, showing us his great love, showing us what he has done for us. That's why we've got to give the more earnest heed to the things that have been spoken. You know, Jesus has come to us. He's spoken to us. We've heard his voice. And it awakened our heart. And it caused us to be able to love him with all of our heart. So the Bible here says, beware, brethren, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know that, how you can drift away? How many in a marriage relationship, let's be honest, know there are times that you can start to drift away? Can't you? Is that true? Or is it only Bev and I that have them times? And there's good reasons for it on Bev's part, putting up with some of the stuff in my life. You know, well, I don't want to put up with this anymore. And there can be a distancing, a drawing, a pulling away. And we're not hearing like we used to. Yeah? Not hearing what they're saying. We was, what? What do you want? What are you saying now? You know, that kind of attitude shows there's a distance. And you know, we can do that with God. We can know all about him and even pursue more knowledge of him, but we can be drifting. We can be pulling back. See, faith operates out of love. Faith works by love, the Bible says in Galatians 5. And so, you know, God is speaking. He is talking today, and he's wanting our full attention. So I don't know what's gone on in your life. You know, maybe there are things, when the Bible says we're to exhort one another daily. You know, there are things that can come in, there are things that can happen to us, and we can lose heart. Whereas at one time, we'd be praying all the time. You know, and then things happen and the devil sows in there. See, God doesn't really care about you. See, he's just trying to make it hard for you. See, he's trying to hold out on you. I won't do that. I'll give you whatever you want. I'll satisfy those needs. And there's this departing. Oh, yeah, we're still pursuing the knowledge of God. We're still learning all about him. But there's a departing. And the Bible calls it an evil heart of unbelief. You see, God loves us incredibly. And he says that we're to love him with all of our heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. You know, we get into trouble and we call on God and he answers us, shows us great and mighty things. I mean, the greatest and the mightiest thing that can ever be shown to anyone is that God is God Emmanuel. He's with us. He's our Father and he loves us and he's for us. But he is also God. He's God. And so we learn that. We say, oh, God, I give my whole life to you. I just want to obey you every day. I want to serve you every day. And it might be great when things are going the way we think they should, our perception, what we like, and then turns around and suddenly there's that little, the devil can get in and start to sow a doubt. You know, is God really for you? And we find that we're distant. Yes, we're still pursuing knowledge of him. We're still finding out about him. We know more about him than anybody else, but our heart is distant. So it's not about what you know about God. It's whether you know him. It says in the book of Daniel, in the last days, there'll be running to and fro and knowledge will increase. But you know what it says? It says that those who know their God shall be strong and do mighty exploits. We're in a time when things are really starting to heat up. Because in knowledge, we look, God, solve this, do this, do that. Pray this way and you can get what you want from God. Pray that way and you can motivate God to do something. No, it's a relationship with him. We've given our heart to him to follow him, to hear his voice and obey that voice. You know, he said, if you love me, keep my commands. In other words, everything that he says, we hear and do. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So we're in a day of actually great danger, perilous times. And you know why? It's not because of all the disasters that are going to happen. It's because the Bible says that men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We'll love pleasure more than God. We'll love this, we'll love that. See, it comes back to idols in the heart. That we might be saying, God, that's my idol, and God, that's what I want from you. You know, if you really love me, you'll give me those things. You'll do those things for you. That's how I see love. But that's not love. We're here to serve him. We're called with a holy calling to fulfill his will and his way in our life. You know, things are heating up. Just to share this with you. Things are really heating up in India, you know, with Anand Paul. Talk about, I thought he was under pressure, but that's just increasing. And I realised how much my mentality about church and about, you know, people that are right with God, you know, you think, yeah, then God will make everything work out this way. You'll never have trouble. Well, Jesus didn't say that, did he? He said, you know, you're going to have trouble. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, don't be worried about it. I've overcome. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And so, as I said, you know, there's pressure. The Indian government now, what was it, that group that have pulled out of Compassion has pulled out of India. Because the Indian government's really stepping down on Christian influence. They want to stop all that. So they found that they can't even work there and had to... Maybe I will read this out from Catherine Kuhlman. She's talking about faith. Volumes have been written, more volumes have been spoken regarding that indefinable something called faith. Yet in the final analysis, we actually know so little of the subject. Faith is that quality of power by which the things desired become the things possessed. That is the nearest to a definition of faith attempted by the Word of God. You cannot weigh faith or confine it to a container. It is not something you can take out, look at, and analyse. You cannot definitely put your finger on it and say, now this is faith. You can no more explain faith than you can describe time or define energy. In the realm of physics, we're told the atom is a world within itself. The potential energy contained within this tiny world bewilders the mind of the average person. If you attempt to define it, you run into difficulties. And so it is with the things of the spirit, especially faith. We do, however, know what it is not. One of the most common errors is to confuse faith with presumption. We must be constantly alert to the danger of mistaking one for the other, for there is a vast difference between the two. There are many who mix the ingredients of their own mental attitude with a little confidence, a little pinch of trust, a generous handful of religious egotism, quote some scriptures, add some desire, then mix it all together and label it faith. Not so. Faith is more than belief. It's more than confidence. It's more than trust. It's more than the sum total of all these things, and none of them in particular. Above all, it is never boastful. If it is pure Holy Ghost faith, it will never work contrary to the will of God. The Word of God teaches that faith is a gift, and Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. One of the chief difficulties is the failure to see that faith can be received only as it is imparted to our hearts by God Himself. You cannot manufacture it. You cannot work it up. You can believe a promise and at the same time not have the faith to appropriate that promise. But we have formed the habit of trying to appropriate by belief, forgetting that belief is a mental quality. Trying to conjure up faith through belief puts us in the metaphysical realm. Faith, as God Himself imparts to the heart, is spiritual. It's warm, it's vital, it lives, it throbs. Its power is absolutely irresistible when it is imparted to the heart by the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, here we are. Your church, your church. Do you know what the church is? It's called, it is the called out ones. You've called us out, not only individually, but in the, God, we recognize that we have been called out as a body out of each one of our homes, out of our businesses, out of even out of our all different lives, and we've been called to stand together in your presence. That's what the church is. Lord, to hear your voice. Your Bible says that we are to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Father, I pray that every distraction would be removed. That, Lord, as we wait upon you, Lord, all that's of anxiety, all that's out of presumption, all that's out of striving and struggling and trying, Lord, would be laid down. Not that we would give up, because our hearts are fixed, trusting in you. Our hearts are fixed. Lord, the one thing that we need is to hear your voice. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Give us ears to hear, Lord, in this generation, in our homes, in our families, in this community, what you are saying to each one of us by your Spirit. Give us hearts, God, that are on fire for you. I pray, Lord, that any idol that may be in our heart will be exposed and cast down. We love you, Lord. You've commanded us to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength, all of our soul. We love you, Lord. Here we are, your people. All that we think that we know about you, Lord, we lay it down. All of our crowns, we cast them down. And Lord, we just want to become like little children again and be still and know that you're on the throne, you're in control, and it's our heart and our mind and our all to hear what you are saying and to do it. My sheep, you said, hear my voice, and another we will not follow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for real peace. I pray a stillness and a peace over all of our lives and hearts. Lord, as we wait upon you, you are the one who gives strength. I pray for strength. I pray, Lord, also, as you say, to draw near to you, that we're to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Lord, don't let us be ones that draw back with that evil heart. Let it be ones that draw near, because you said if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Your word is true. Lord, anything that would cause us to draw back, I pray let it be exposed and dealt with. In Jesus' wonderful name, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.